Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. I'd like to welcome you to our service today. This message is for the week of October 3rd, 2021. It's entitled, The Honor of Being Chosen by God. Call to worship is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. From the New English Translation, the NET Bible. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By His great mercy, He gave us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, that is, into an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It is reserved in heaven for you, who by God's power are protected through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This brings you great joy, although you may have to suffer for a short time in various trials. Such trials show the proven character of your faith, which is much more valuable than gold. Gold that is tested by fire, even though it passes away, and it will bring praise and glory and honor when Christ Jesus is revealed. Amen. We are looking at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. Paul wrote this letter to the churches in and around Ephesus while he was in prison. Many scholars feel he wrote this letter well under house arrest in Rome, following his appeal to Caesar. We see this in Acts 24. Paul was being accused by the Jewish leaders of breaking their laws concerning the Gentiles and of preaching that Jesus is the Messiah. To help us understand this passage better, I want to include some context. I'll start at chapter 2, verse 19, and read until chapter 3, verse 15. To his mostly Gentile readers, Paul says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." Chapter 3, verse 1. "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold witness of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are for your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Despite the fact that Paul is incarcerated solely for preaching about Jesus Christ, the tone of this letter is one of rejoicing over God's amazing salvation plan. In Ephesians 3:1-13, Paul is expressing his honor over being chosen by God for his service. So first of all, we see that Paul is honored to know the mystery of Christ. We see this in verses 1-6. In these verses, Paul explains God's special plan unfolding through Christ Jesus, which has now been revealed by God to the apostles and prophets. See this in verse 5. This revelation, called the mystery of Christ or the mystery of Messiah, was hinted at in the past but only fully seen now. And Paul is honored to have been included in the revealing of this mystery. Verse 6 explains the revelation, and this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. That was from the New Living Translation. Well, we Gentile Christians have become so used to this truth that we forget there was a time when it was stunning to those who first heard it. It was literally unbelievable that God would open the doors of his kingdom to the ignorant of God's ways, the godless Gentiles, without first requiring them to enter through the door of Israel. This truth was first revealed to the apostles and prophets. We know to Peter and to Paul and to Barnabas, and then taught to the church. Paul was honored to have been chosen by the Lord Jesus to be in on this incredible news from the start, in spite of his previous distance from the Gentiles as a Pharisee. He would have wanted as little to do with them as possible. Not only had Paul been given insight into God's plan to redeem all humanity, and he was honored by that, God in grace also chose him to lead the way in bringing this message of Christ's saving grace to the Gentiles. So the second thing I want to highlight is that Paul was honored to share this good news with the world. We see this in verses 7-12, that Paul was honored to share this good news with the world. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, Paul writes, "Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ." It's fascinating that the word translated here in the NIV, less than the least, in the Greek was coined by Paul. He didn't choose available words he had available to him like little or less or least. He took the word least, and he added to it, giving it the meaning less than the least or leaster. I'm the leaster of all. Now, when given special honor, most people experience some pride and even arrogance to have been selected. Yet what kept Paul so humble that he would say, "I am the leaster, I am less than the least"? It's because he realized how unworthy he was of the task and how inadequate he was to fulfill it. It was enormous, the Gentile world. Then what was it that made Paul bold enough to try to do it anyway, to go and do it anyway? Well, look at what he says in Ephesians 3:7. He said, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Paul realized that his call to serve Christ was a work of God's grace, and his ability to preach about Christ to the Gentiles only came as a gift of God's grace. In other words, Paul is saying, since this is what God called me to do, I will do it and trust him to empower me to do it. Now, I'm not going to question him. If God's given me this assignment, I know he will give me the power, the ability to do it. It's like, if he's going to speak through this donkey, then so be it. Amazing. I'm reminded of what Jacqueline Peace, her message to us last Sunday from John 6, 1-15, where Jesus fed over 5,000 people with just a little bit, loaves and fish. And then the question we were asked, that Jesus is really asking us from this passage, is, do I trust God to be able to use me? Do I trust God to be able to take the little I have and do what there's no possible way I could? It takes humility and boldness to say, I'm only one person. I can only give $10. I've never done this before, but I trust you, Lord. I am the servant. You are Almighty God. Are you honored to know God's salvation plan? He's revealed it to you, that he's called you to himself, that he intends to reach the world. Are you honored to know that? Are you honored to share it? Honored to let other people know, to share the incredible news of hope that God the Father has revealed by his Spirit concerning his Son, that will change people's lives now and for eternity if they would respond to it. Now, thirdly, what could be the third thing Paul is honored with in this passage? Keep in mind how this passage started. Chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Now, we saw that this refers back to chapter 2, and we get a highlight of it in verses 19 to 22, where Paul rejoiced over the Gentiles being fully included into God's household. Then after this is what many consider a parenthetical statement. Verses 2 to 13, Paul is kind of taking an aside. He mentions something and then he explains what it is. Well, you heard that I've been called as an apostle to the Gentiles. And Paul returns to his thought that he started in verse 1, then in verse 14, where he kind of repeats himself again, that same phrase, for this reason. In verse 14, he says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. In verse 14, he's returning to his focus, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. But notice how he links this digression back into verse 14. In verses 12 and 13, he says, in him, meaning Christ Jesus, and through faith in him, we approach God with freedom and confidence. He's including the Gentiles into this. We may approach God with freedom and confidence. Verse 13, I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, Gentiles, which are your glory. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. Now, why does Paul not want them to be discouraged because of his suffering to bring the gospel to the Gentiles? Essentially, he's saying it's because of you that I'm in prison. But why is he saying don't be discouraged? because he, in doing so, as a servant, he's a prisoner, not of Rome, but of Christ Jesus, and Paul is honored to suffer for Christ Jesus. That's, I think, the third point here. Paul is saying he's honored to be able to suffer for the sake of Christ. Now, the idea of suffering for Christ as an honor may be difficult for us, a difficult concept for us. Usually, suffering is something we want to avoid. Large parts of our nervous system are designed to alert us of danger using pain so that we can respond before more suffering occurs. For example, touching something hot hurts and makes us pull our hand away in pain. We may get a blister, but the pain in our response and pulling it away prevent greater damage. We don't lose our fingers. We don't lose our hand. We may get a blister, but it's prevented greater damage. So how does Paul understand suffering as being good, as being an honor? Think about it this way. Paul felt honored to be so identified with Jesus as to receive the same treatment as Jesus for following him. And remember, Jesus told his followers to expect this. If they treat me this way, they will treat my followers this way. William Barclay, in his commentary on this passage, says, "If a man is in prison for some great cause, he may either grumbly regard himself as an ill-used creature, or he may radiantly regard himself as a standard-bearer of some great cause. The one regards his prison as a penance. The other regards it as a privilege." When we undergo hardship, unpopularity, material loss for the sake of Christian principles, we may either regard ourselves as the victims of men or as the champions of Christ. Paul is our example. He regarded himself not as a prisoner of Nero, but a prisoner of Christ. Paul regarded himself as a sufferer for Christ. He did not expect the way of service to be easy. He did not expect the way of loyalty to be trouble. F.R. Maltby used to say that Jesus promised his disciples three things: that they would be absurdly happy, secondly, completely fearless, and thirdly, and in constant trouble. Barclay goes on, "When the knights of chivalry came to the court of King Arthur and to the Society of the Round Table, they came asking for dangers to face and dragons to conquer. To suffer for Christ is not a penalty. It is our glory, for it is to share in the sufferings of Christ himself and an opportunity to demonstrate the reality of our loyalty to him." Wow. Suffering for Christ is to share in the sufferings of Christ himself and an opportunity to demonstrate the reality of our loyalty to him. "I won't leave you, Lord. Even under threat of suffering, you are worth more than that." In the communion service, we remember our Lord's suffering for our sake. The bread reminds us of his body broken for us. The cup represents his blood, shed as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Paul was honored to have received the amazing news of God's grace extended to him and all humanity, and that included the Gentiles. He was honored to have been empowered by God to share this good news with the world. And he was also honored to endure suffering, to proclaim the life-changing news of God's salvation in Christ Jesus. Now, this is the big question. How about you and I? We are to share the same honor. Have you responded to the mystery of Christ, that no one is excluded from the opportunity to be forgiven of their sins and become a part of God's family? Have you responded to that mystery, that there is no one that is so sinful, that is so ignorant of God, even if they've never heard about God? There is no one outside the ability to receive Christ. He loves each one. If you have accepted Jesus as your sin forgiver and life leader, are you honored to share this good news? Are you honored and willing to suffer for the name of Christ Jesus if called upon? I mentioned a couple of weeks ago a book that I had been lent that had stories of Muslims coming to Christ in closed countries. It's exciting. And the common thread for them was excitement over the opportunity to receive God's gift of salvation by grace, and it encouraged them to tell others, even with the likelihood of suffering. The good news they had discovered was worth more than any pain they may face on this earth, so they would not, could not stay silent. How about you and I? Have we responded to this news by accepting Jesus as our Savior and Lord? And then have we responded to the honor of being able to share this with others? And even not back down from the honor of being willing to suffer for Jesus' sake, if that's what he asks of us. Let me close with the words of Paul from Romans 8, 31 to 35. It's good for us to remember this. This is from the New Living Translation. Paul writes, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day, we are being slaughtered like sheep." No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Nothing, even the powers of hell, can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above, or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that beautiful truth. Claim it. Live it. You've been honored to be chosen with this news, to know the mystery, to share the good news. And yes, even to suffer for Jesus Christ, because that means you represent him. Thank you, Lord. Now let me close with a benediction from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen." The Lord bless you. Lean on him for your strength. Thank you for joining us today.